Welcome to the podcast at Life Community Church in Gilbert, Arizona. To learn more about our church, visit us at lifecommunityaz.com or join us on Sunday mornings at 10:30. I hope you enjoy today's message.
Last Sunday, I was speaking, and as I was going back and forth like this, I saw that that stinking podium is way in the way. And I decided last Sunday, I'm going to try it 1 week. I may hide behind that thing next week. I may build a big fortress. And so I thought, well, what'll I do for my, I've got several scriptures this morning and we could put them on the wall, but when it goes on the wall, I can't read. So I got these little cards for me with the scriptures on it. And so I want to talk to you this morning. This is better already. You know what I'm saying? And for those of you that get worried that I'm going to fall off the front of this, I've got special, they're called nerve endings on the bottom of my feet, and I can feel when I get really close to the edge. So just to let you guys, oh my God, he's going to fall! If it were 50 feet down, I'd be hanging onto that wall right now. But have you ever seen the WWJD? Who knows what WWJD stands for? Just shout it out. Somebody. Okay, what does what does WDJD stand for? Oh, you got it. What did Jesus do? You really don't have to wonder what would Jesus do. You read the scriptures and it'll tell you what Jesus did do. And we've been talking about being fishers of men. You know, when he called his disciples, he said, follow me and I'm going to do something for you that you're not even counting on. I'm going to make you fishers of men. We always think, well, he's going to make me a better person, a better pastor, a better husband, a better father, a better grandfather. He says, I really want to make you a fisher of men. And I'm sure they thought, and as we thought sometimes, what in the world is that? What is a fisher of men? And so Jesus said, I'm going to teach you disciples. And he did. By the time he left and the day of Pentecost came, these guys literally set the world on fire with the message of Jesus. And now what we've been talking about for the last several weeks is this message is not intuitive. The Bible says you can sit under a tree. It doesn't say you can sit under a tree, but you can come to grips with there is a God just by looking at creation. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to be a navel gazer. You can just look at the stars. You can look at the sky and deduce that there is a God. But you don't come to salvation that way. You come to salvation because somebody explained it to you. Somebody took the time, the effort, maybe the awkwardness to sit down and tell you. Maybe you heard it in a church service. And a couple weeks ago when we started this series, I had people write a letter, and I hope you wrote one. I wrote one and read it to the person who brought me to Christ, and I call it who reeled me in, explained the place of salvation, and I received Christ, and we're fish that are glad that we got caught. Now, I know there's a culture that says live and let live, and God will sort it all out at the end, but the truth of it is he's called us. Christianity by nature is evangelistic. And so that's what we've been called to do. And so I'm trying to create a congregation, a church body, a group of people where your unchurched friends, the people you work with, the people you work for, the people that work for you, your neighbors, you would be confident to invite him to church. And say, you're going to like it. You're going to like what's going on, and it'll do something for you. And so to do that, I think we need to understand what Jesus did and how Jesus did it. And it takes me to my first point, was Jesus was crystal clear with his principles. Jesus was crystal clear, with his priorities. I know that. Crystal clear with his priorities. He didn't wonder, well, should I do this, should I do that? No, he was crystal clear. We've done the same thing that Jesus did. We did it in our own language, seeing unchurched people of the next generation become passionate followers of Christ. If you want to know what Life Community is about unchurched people, the next generation, become passionate followers of Christ. You're not trying to reach me. I'm already reached. I passionately follow the Lord. Good for you, Pastor. It's not about us old guys that have been around for a while who love Jesus more and more every day. It's for unchurched people. For another generation that have never maybe heard a clear-cut message of the gospel to become passionate followers of Christ. And an interesting story in Matthew chapter 9, and I'm going to start reading in verse 19. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Now remember from, and he said, follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. Now tax collector is the lowest form of scum that there was. These were Jewish guys that had betrayed their country and were charging taxes for Rome. And they were hated. There were sinners and then there were tax collectors. And tax collectors, when it talks here, there were sinners and tax collectors. And so Jesus goes up to the booth where this guy's collecting taxes. You can imagine his other disciples there. And he says, Matthew, why don't you follow me? And they say, are you kidding me? Do you know he's a tax collector? It's not going to be good for the group. Verse 10, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, obviously this happened some days later, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. So Jesus is there having dinner with these tax collectors and sinners. And when the Pharisees, look at verse 11, when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why did your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Why is a pastor hanging out with those kind of people? Doesn't he know that'll hurt his reputation? Doesn't he know that'll hurt business? You don't want to get too associated with those kind of people. So they said, why is your teacher hanging out with tax collectors and sinners? Verse 12, and on hearing this, you ever had anybody talking about you? And you could say, I can hear you. Anybody ever go through that kind of, I've had people, they didn't think I was listening because I could look like I'm not listening when I'm really listening. You guys know how to do that, don't you? Anyway, and you want to say, I can hear you. And on hearing this, Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Now, Jesus really is quoting a scripture out of Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, where it says, "Go," where he tells them to go and learn. Usually religious people don't want to be told to learn anything because we think we know it all. But go and learn what it means that I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And then Hosea goes on to say, and I want acknowledgments more than burnt offerings. What God is looking for is mercy more than sacrifice. His priorities were very, very clear. He wasn't looking for the righteous people, the do-gooders, the Sunday morning folk. And like I say, we're glad we got caught. We're glad somebody reached out to us and told us about Jesus. But that was not his mission, just to catch the caught, to recycle the caught. His priority was to seek and save that which was lost. Let's go to number two. Jesus connected with people because he wasn't judgmental. I want to talk straight up about this. Jesus connected with people, you know why? Because he wasn't judgmental. I'm not talking to anybody in particular, but everybody in general. If you're judgmental, people will flee from you. Not just church folks. Your spouse will spend as much time in the garage as he can. Your wife will go shopping as long as she can if she's living with a judgmental husband, if he's living with a judgmental wife. I'm telling you, your kids can't leave, but as soon as they're old enough to, they will. And if they can't get out of the house, they'll avoid you like the plague. And Jesus connected with people because he wasn't judgmental with them. He wasn't looking down his nose at them. He wasn't saying, you know, you dirty so-and-so. He hung out with sinners and tax collectors. You don't do that, guys, by being judgmental of people. By saying, you slime bag. Wow, it's great to sit at the table with you. Who knows what I'm talking about? Look at verse 34. So Jesus, and this, it says the same kind of thing in Matthew 11, but in Luke chapter 7, verse 33, he's talking about the difference of John the Baptist came all righteous and fire and brimstone and all that kind of stuff, and they said he was crazy. Let me just read it here. John the Baptist didn't spend his time eating bread or drinking wine, and you say he's possessed by a demon. They didn't like him. Jesus says, but this verse 34, but the Son of Man, on the other hand, feasts and drinks, and you say he's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. See, there it goes again. Friend of tax collectors. Just couldn't get over that he was friends with these kinds of people because they are so wrong. If you're a Republican, they were like they were Democrats. If you're a Democrat, it's like they were Republicans and of the worst sort. And they just couldn't get over it. See, their view of a prophet is he would wear these little robes and say, hear ye, and do prophet things. And when Jesus didn't come that way, when he came and he hung out with people that were sinners and tax collectors, they accepted him because he didn't judge them. You know what judgmentalism is when you really think you're better than somebody else. And it's really when you try to impose your will on their life. Some of you are judgmental against your in-laws, your daughter-in-laws, your son-in-laws, because you think your daughter married up or married down, your son married down, and she's not good enough for him, and he's not good enough for her, and on and on. And if they would only change, and our judgment keep us separated. It does. To your grown children who you wanted to go to college and you wanted to get a degree and you wanted them to do this and this, and they decided not to do that. They didn't go to the school or a school. And the truth is, some grown children have their parents who are embarrassed, who are ashamed, and who judge them for choices that they've made as adults. Are all the choices good? Of course not. Is everything just fine? No. I'm not saying that nothing matters. Things do matter. Life does matter. But until you get over your will on somebody else's life and then try to enforce that, try to live your will through somebody else. And I'm not talking little children. You need to live your will through them. If you don't believe that, go work in Sunday school yourself. No, I'm not talking little kids. I'm not talking about training. I'm not talking about raising kids. I'm talking about grown kids. You want to separate yourself from your grown children. Don't accept where they work. Look down on them for what they are. And every time they come around you, they will feel less than, and something's the matter with me, and you'll wonder, why won't they come at Christmas? You judge them. Well, I provided all that money for college and they didn't even go. I did, perhaps should have. But until you come to grips with, I'm talking straight up to you. See, that's why I appreciate the pulpit not being here. I can talk straight up. With a pulpit, it gets a little preachy. No. It's the reason they stay away from you is every time they're around you, they feel less than. For mistakes perhaps they've learned that they've made. Who's ever made mistakes? Who just really enjoyed when somebody rubbed your nose in it? No. Every one of us. And Jesus was the type that with tax collectors who had betrayed their Jewish brothers, they finally found somebody that loved them for who they were. We set our standards for someone else and try to enforce them. So who are we as a church when people perhaps that are different than us, perhaps a different set of values? Well, we'll love you as soon as you straighten up. I tell you what, you straighten up and start coming every Sunday and start dressing right and living right and doing right according to my standard. Then you're welcome. That's crazy, and that's judgmentalism. It is. And it'll stifle the life of Jesus right out of a church because Jesus isn't like that. Jesus prove anything going on? No. There's right and wrong. But the message of the gospel is that he loves you greater than he disapproves of your sin. His call is to you to come on home. You're forgiven. See, I think that's why the prodigal son, there was something in that father that when that prodigal son left, when that boy left, Dad would say, and don't you ever come crawling home to me. I tell you what, you're wrong. You know that father, when he gave that boatload of money to that son, was weeping and grieving. But there was something in him that said, if you ever need to come home, son, you're always welcome. And when that boy finally woke up in that pig pen, there was some place for him to go. Where do you go if you wake up in a pig pen? And the place that could give you help is so stinking judgmental that you know you're going to get ripped in shreds. And that's not who we are going to be. Amen. So, that's why we have invited last week, and we're doing it again this week. We invited somebody from Craigslist, and they so graciously said yes. And so Jamie is going to come and interview them. And our promise to them, come on up, Jamie. Not even met her. I just saw that you guys walked in, and our promise is not to judge them. And this nice girl here, she doesn't go to church anywhere, and that's one of the requirements for it, is that we wanted somebody that didn't go to church anywhere and to come and tell us their journey in life. And so our promise is, this is not bait and switch. We're not going to try to convert you and get you at the door on the way out and all this kind of stuff. No, we're not doing that. We're glad you're here. You can stay for the whole thing if you want. Matter of fact, you paid her already. Okay, I mean, you got your money, so you can be honest. We're asking for real honesty. Were they going to pay me if I mean to? No. We're not worried about that. So, but we really do want to know about folks that don't go to church. We're in church. Some of them aren't that often, but you know what I'm saying. Most every week, and so talk to us, Jamie.
Okay. All right. Hello, everybody. This is my friend Nancy. Now, Nancy and I met, I'm not kidding, about 3 minutes ago, but she seems very nice. All right, so Nancy, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I was born in Pennsylvania, lived in Arizona for 22 years, single mom of two. Right now I don't have a job, but I'm working on it. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. How old are your kids?
My daughter's 18 months and my son's 8 months.
Okay, so just a year apart there, mm-hmm. or yes, would be less.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you normally attend church?
No, I don't.
Okay. If a close friend or family member invited you to church, would you be more likely to go?
Yeah, I would go if a friend invited me.
Yeah. What if it was like a stranger that invited you?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It would depend on what kind of church it was, if it was convenient for me, and if my schedule, you know, was not conflicting.
Yeah. But if it's someone you knew, would you be more apt to go?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. Because we think that if it's someone that you have a relationship with, it's easier to invite. If I was just like, hi, Nancy, would you like to go to my church? That might be a little awkward for you and for me.
How do you know my name?
If you attended with a close friend or family member, what would prevent you from returning? What's something that might turn you off? And we're completely honest.
Well, I've been to a lot of churches, and I've been to a lot of different denominations, you know. And basically, just when people don't talk to you when you go, they're just kind of like standoffish. That's probably one of the reasons why I didn't return to some of them.
Because they weren't like overly friendly or...
I mean, they don't have to be overly friendly, but at least they are.
At least say hi. We're like, can everyone say hi to Nancy? So can we friendly jerk?
Okay, Gus and I.
You're like, okay, that's good. Okay. So tell us a little bit about your faith background. Like, did you ever attend church regularly?
Well, I grew up Christian. I went to church every Sunday until I was about 22. And then I got married, and my husband didn't really believe in God. And after that, you know, he would be like, oh, Sunday, we're going to watch a football game, and, you know, you got to go with me. So every time I just had to put church, like, on the back burner. Mm-hmm. And since then, I really haven't found, like, a church home or, you know, anywhere where I feel comfortable enough to go. So that's, you know, pretty mm-hmm. much my background right now.
Okay. Yeah, because some of the words you say to me says that you have some experience.
I do.
With church, like a church home, what denomination, those are usually words that you'd say if you're familiar, you've attended church mm-hmm. some length of time. So I thought that you had some church background there, yeah. But I didn't know, because I'm asking you right now, so I know. If you came to this church or any church, what would you hope to find if someone invited you?
Somewhere I would feel comfortable at, and somewhere I could, you know, find God, you know, just somewhere where I could come and feel comfortable worshiping, I guess. Mm-hmm. Pretty much that would be what I would hope to find.
Okay. Yeah, we're doing this series right now called Fishers of Men. And as you can see, our point is Jesus connected with people because he wasn't judgmental. So we're definitely trying to learn how to not be judgmental and make it very comfortable for anyone to come and attend. So that's a great answer. Thank you. So what has been your church experience? I think you've already explained that a little bit. Well, is there anything else?
Well, okay, so I kind of really don't have, like, a religion right now at this point. I know there's a God, mm-hmm. but I'm so confused because I read the Torah and I read the Quran and read the Bible. And, you know, like, it just kind of confused me. I don't think I should have read the other two because now I'm just, like, confused.
Yeah.
So
you read the Torah, the Quran, and now it's almost confusing to you.
Yeah,
it's
because, I mean, it's like, just like the Bible was written, you know, and by all these people that God gave knowledge to, you know, to share with other people. Well, the same thing for the other books. I mean, people had experiences with God and wrote them. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, people just don't write stuff.
Right.
So, I mean, that's pretty much, you know, my religious background. Okay. Like my religion right now, I don't really have one.
Okay. You said you don't really have a religion, but you did say that you believe that there is a God.
Yes.
And we think that's the first step mm-hmm. to what we would say finding Christ. Like, believe that there is a God.
Yes.
So, and God is over everything. Mm-hmm. So I'd say you're actually in a pretty great place because now you're curious. I believe there's a God and I'm interested.
Exactly.
So now you can
looking for, you know, something. I'm searching for something. I just don't know what it is yet.
Yeah.
And when I find it, I'll know.
Yeah. Well, usually people are searching for something. They don't know what they're looking for until they find it.
Exactly.
So what you said is very true. Yeah. Can you hold the microphone closer like this? You're so sweet, but you talk so quiet. So
can you guys hear me now?
Yeah. I probably don't even need a microphone because I'm very loud by nature. But you have a very sweet spirit to you. So thank you. So where are you on your spiritual journey? And I think we actually just kind of covered that a little bit. You read different books and you're curious.
Well, I'm at a point in my life where I don't really know what to believe, I guess. Mm-hmm. That's where I am.
Okay.
I mean, I know there's a God, but I just don't know which religion to follow because I haven't made that choice yet.
Yeah.
And I know I will eventually, but I just want to be sure that when I do.
Yeah.
You know. Okay.
And we believe, and again, we're not trying to convert you. We said we wouldn't do that in our ad, but we believe that in the beginning was God. Mm-hmm. God's over everything.
Yeah.
And God would also be over Christianity. Now, I do think there's like different groups that have gone out and taken God and kind of put the name of God on it and mm-hmm. created
exactly.
different religions, which unfortunately is confusing for people who don't know the Lord. You know, I don't go to church. I'm looking for something.
Exactly.
And it creates confusion, not a clear message. Mm-hmm. So we believe, like the Bible says, if you believe, just open your life to Christ. Like if you believe in God, you believe in Jesus Christ, like the Bible says that you'll be saved.
Right.
And we believe saved is when you go to heaven.
When I was younger, I committed to Jesus. You know, I like took him into my heart, you mm-hmm. know, and did all that when I was younger, but I don't think I really like.
Yeah. Now, so how old were you when you accepted Christ into your heart?
I think I was 13 or 14.
13 or 14. Mm-hmm. So I started going to church when I was about 10 or 11 here, actually. And I'm only 13, so it's been a couple years. 10 or 11. It wasn't that fun, you guys. Come on. Like, I'm just kidding. So when I was 11 in Stars, and you always, like, they tell you, pray this, you know, so you, mm-hmm. dear Jesus, come into my heart. You'd say it over and over.
Yeah, that's almost exactly what I said.
Almost as not a ritual, because that could imply something else, but almost as this is what we do. You go to camp, you get saved, and then the next day you have a crush on a boy, and then you go to camp, and you get saved again, and that's what we do. But when I was 15, it was more than just, oh, I'm doing this because this is what I'm supposed to do. I was looking at my life and was like, wow, I could be a complete train wreck, or I could really commit myself to Christ. Like, I believe in God, I believe Jesus is real, and I'm going to commit to this. Mm-hmm. And I completely found a relationship with God outside of church. I was actually, like, in my bedroom having a conversation with someone. Wasn't even sitting in Sunday school.
When I pray, I pray to God, and I feel
yeah,
he hears
yeah.
me.
You know? See, and I think you do have a relationship with God. You just may not be aware of it.
I just don't go to church.
Yeah. But
I never get time, actually, because my two kids, I'm like, most churches I went to didn't have a nursery. So, yeah. Like, I'm, like, trying to keep them quiet because they're loud. Yeah. You know?
So and you come with the kids,
I'm like, I'm just going to leave because everybody's, like, looking at me like, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, okay, it's time for me to go.
But I think the misconception is, oh, we go to church, we do all these things that are right, that makes us a Christian. And I don't believe that to be true. I think if you open your life to Christ, you believe in God, you're saved. Like, you are definitely, you have a relationship with God. You probably just don't know it yet. Mm-hmm. You said you believe in God. You've accepted Christ into your heart. Like, I mean, growing your relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
So that would be my thought. And I could be wrong. I don't know. But
you hit it on the head.
Yeah. So what made you respond to the Craigslist ad?
Mainly just because I just wanted to see what you guys are about. And then also because I need the help right now.
Yeah.
Because it's not easy being a single mom.
Yeah. No, it's not. We have a lot of single moms that go to church here. And, I mean, they can tell you it's not easy. Yeah. So that's why it's so important to have, like, a good support system, which hopefully the church would could provide single moms here. So that's what we try to do.
That would be nice.
Yeah. All right. And just the last question here. We are trying to reach people who do not attend church, which... And now I do believe you have a relationship with God. We probably need to talk more about that. But people that don't go to church, is there any thoughts you could give us? Like, what else could you say to us as we try to reach people?
Mainly just be yourself. Be yourself. Like you're a really good person. Just meeting you, I can tell you're a good person. You know, when you go out and talk to people, you know, don't be too overly like, hey, you need to come here. Hey, you need to do this. Like, hey, this is your choice. You know, this could be beneficial for you in many ways. Even if you don't believe in what we have to say, just come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess mainly when you see people who are, you know, in need of help, those are the people that need God. You know, don't like just go up to people that seem like they're okay. Or, I mean, if you see somebody that's like, you're like homeless people. You see homeless people all the time on the street. Go up to them.
Yeah.
Invite them. Who cares what they look like?
Yeah.
You know?
That's very true.
I mean, that's the only lesson I can give you on that one.
Yeah, that's what we're going to try to do is to reach people. So thank you so much, Nancy. Thank you, thank you. Now, one last thing, and I don't want to convert you, but may I pray for you real quick?
Absolutely.
Okay. And I promise it won't be weird. Unless you make it weird, then it'll be weird. Okay. Lord, I thank you so much for Nancy. God, I thank you for this young girl who came here today. God, nervous, not sure what to expect. Lord, I pray that we showed you well to her. God, that we showed her love and grace. God, as she's a single mom and struggling to make it, God, I pray that she came here and will leave excited for what you have for her. God, I pray that you would give her gifts in food, in money, God, whatever she is needing. Lord, help us reach her and help her. Lord God, help us come alongside her and build a relationship. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you
so amen.
Much. Very nice.
Good stuff. Thank you, Nancy. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yes, ma'am. Say that again. What did I get your name wrong?
Nancy.
No, you got it right.
Nancy, okay. See, when you get old, you can't hear well. Wasn't that wonderful?
Yes.
I tell you, wouldn't it be... And again, Nancy, I don't want to talk about you like you're not here. I know that you are and you're listening to me, whatever. But wouldn't it be wonderful to take for 100 Nancys in the world to take holiday Christmas food to and then take Christmas gifts come Christmas time? I was in the coffee shop this morning and a guy go to Liberty Market and the guy just... I was sitting in a booth, and the guy sitting in the booth next to me, facing me, his wife says, "That's the minister." And so I looked up, and you never know if there are people that go here or used to go here or that know me or that I'm supposed to know. And so I said, "Well, yes." And I had my notes out there, and they said, "You're getting your sermon ready." And so I said, "You know, if it's not ready by now, it's too late." And the guy said, "Well, it's never too late." And so I said, okay, and I said, well, then what do you do during the song service? That's when I get my sermon ready. Anyway, so we had a laugh, and so their friends came, and they were eating. And so they started talking to me again about something church stuff. And so I said, I never ask, are you a Christian? Because everybody's a Christian. I said, are you a church guy? And he said, no, not really. I used to be. And I said, it's amazing. We're having folks come to our church this morning. I didn't know who you were, Nancy, but come in this morning to tell us why you don't go to church, to tell us why people don't. He says, I don't believe you need to. And he started a rant with me. And I said, you know, if you'd have waited a while, I'd have given you $50 to tell me that in public. So he left and he says, we'll continue this conversation later. And I said, yes, we will. Which takes me to point number three. Everyone has a right to speak, but you must earn the right to be heard. Everybody's got this free country. I understand that. You've got a right to say whatever you want to. You can talk free speech. I'm not trying to get rid of that. But you've got to earn the right to be heard. Everybody can say what you know, got the right to speak. And Jesus demonstrates this so well. It's in John chapter 8, verses 4. These Pharisees, the religious right, as it were, the evangelicals, the Pentecostals, as it were, they caught this woman in the act of adultery. That's a whole nother scenario how they caught that. Maybe they're hiding under the bed or something, but they caught her and they brought her to Jesus. And so this mob was around her with stones in hand, ready to kill this gal. And they, let me just read it to you. John chapter 8, verse 4. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses said to stone her. What do you say? And they were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. Look what Jesus says. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. Have you ever been talking to somebody and they started checking Facebook while you're talking? And you say, like some of you are doing right now, doesn't bother me, I'm used to it. And they're checking Facebook while you're talking to them. And you say, hey, and they say, no, go ahead, I'm just checking this. Or they start texting while you're talking. Or maybe you're interviewing them for a job, and they start checking Facebook during the interview, and you can say, baby, you ain't working here. You don't say that, you just think that. Anyway, so Jesus, as they're talking, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? He stoops down and starts checking Facebook, writing in the dust. But they kept demanding an answer. Hey, we're talking to you. This is serious. It took a long time to catch this gal. So he stood up again and said, all right, but let him who has never sinned, throw the first stone. Awkward. Look what he does in verse 8. He stooped down again and started writing in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest. I wonder why the oldest left. Remember when you were young and had all the answers? And then you live a while and you realize it's not quite as black and white as you thought it was going to be. And you realize there are different shades to what goes on. Remember before you had kids, you said, when I have kids, it's going to be like this. And then you have them and they run you ragged. I tell you how it ought to be with teenagers, then have some. That's why the old dudes left first. They got it. Jesus says, okay, sure enough, the law says that you without sin cast the first stone. And the truth of it is, he's the only one there that had the right to pitch the first rock. And only when Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd, verse 10, then Jesus stood up and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't any one of them condemn you? Verse 11, no, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. This crowd was ready to kill her. And Jesus says, he that's without sin cast the first stone, and nobody could. They all walked away. Jesus saved that woman from a huge mob. And he says, I'm not condemning you either. Jesus, the law of Moses, the Bible says, you're not supposed to do that. If you don't condemn her, she'll keep doing this forever. And Jesus said, I'm not going to condemn you over it. Pastor, you mean to tell me that God doesn't condemn us? I'm absolutely mean to tell you that. That Jesus on the cross took all the punishment, all the condemnation, all the guilt of the whole world, and has forgiven them. Because God's love is greater. Jesus' love was love for her was greater than disapproval of her. People tell me, if that was my wife, I wouldn't put up with it. I wouldn't. I said, of course you wouldn't, because she's not your wife, and I love her. Those are my kids. I wouldn't put up with that. Of course you wouldn't, because they're not your children. They're mine, and I love them. Truth it is, dude, I wouldn't put up with your wife for one second. And I'm glad I got my kids and not yours. Jesus had this incredible capacity to love beyond their sin. And if anybody could have, if anybody had the right to say, charge, start throwing the rocks, it would have been him. And he earned the right to speak into her life. And I tell you what a lot of folks have against Christians is people are speaking into their life and they never earn the right. You got to quit that, you got to quit that, you got to quit that. Who's listening to you? Who's asking you to talk to them that way? Is there somebody that's tapping on your door? Would you please help me with my problem? I can't stop whatever. They're usually not. They're usually avoiding you like the plague. And if you corner them just right in church, because they're in church and because they're nice folks, they put up with it. Whereas normally on the street, they would punch you in the nose. And sometimes we Christians, because people are wrong in what they do, and we've got Bible chapter and verse to prove it. Don't you know what it says here and there, here and there? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Jesus knew it well. And he said, neither do I condemn thee. You're killing yourself. Go and sin no more. You still with me? Number four, Jesus called us to believe, not promise to change. Jesus' call is to believe. Oh, I tell you what, Pastor, I'm gonna change and I'm gonna get more committed. Boy, I just need to get committed. No, you don't. Jesus' call was to believe. The golden text of the Bible, John 3:16. First verse I ever memorized. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I know this translation says his one and only son. That whoever believes in him, would not perish, but have everlasting life. Not whoever started doing a little better and started going to more often and started quitting this kind of stuff, but whoever would put their faith in Christ. Well, Pastor, I know. Pastor, they're doing this and they had not to. I know. And do you really think you're going to change someone by telling them what they really ought to hear? I bet you they've been told that a million times. I bet you they're so condemned already in their heart that they don't need one more religious zealot to tell them. So you're going soft on sin. No, I'm not. I know what Jesus says. Whoever believes. Faith is a powerful, powerful force in your life. And if you will put your faith in Christ, if you will believe in him, you don't have to perish, but you can have eternal life. Verse 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus didn't come. Yeah, thank you. Jesus didn't come to say, look at you bunch of sinners. Look at you bunch of adulterers. Look at you bunch of liars. Look at you. He says, no. He didn't come to condemn the world. But he came to open a pathway of salvation. Of come on home. Come on home. And we as a Christian church have been so preoccupied with getting more committed. Because we like to think it's about us. See, I'd like to be in charge. I'd like to be in charge of my own spiritual walk. And then decisions I make are the ones that really matter. And Jesus says, no, it's not. It's what I've done for you, not what you do for me. See, it's not what I do for God that matters. It's what God has done for me. It's good to do things for God. God says, that's cute. That's sweet. Go ahead. Isn't that cute? But it's what God's done for you is the issue. So, in closing, kind of, fishing for people is a partnership between the church and individuals. Put it on the screen. Do you guys get that idea? Yes, it is. It's in red in mine, and I was looking for a red thing up there, but it's not red. And just let me say, I know that the church and individuals, the church is not the organization. I am well aware of that. But I didn't know else how to put it. I think it's a partnership. See, I think it's a fishing buddy. I'm not asking you to go out and be fishers of men and just do the best you can. I think there's a partnership. I always say, if you will bring people, I will pop the question. Sometimes it's hard with our friends, with our relatives, with those that we're close to really pop the question. I tell you what, folks, I'm the minister. When people come, they expect me to give an invitation. And you've got to trust me that I'll press that as hard as I need to, but not any harder. Things like, why don't you open your life to Christ this morning? Why don't you say yes to Jesus? He's been knocking at your door. And if somebody said, whoa, 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 that's as far as I'm going, because next Sunday's coming. I remember as a child, anybody remember these stories? If you don't get saved today, tonight, it could be your last opportunity ever. Who's ever heard that one before? And you're going to get hit by a Mack truck. I don't know why they called it a white Freightliner, didn't, but it was going to be a Mack truck. Who remembers Mack truck? Anybody remember that? Good! I'm not the only one. You're going to get hit by a Mack truck and you'll go to hell and burn forever. Well, that's great. And then I found the Lord was so patient with me. He'd give me time after time after time, and I never did get hit by a Mack truck. It's not the Mack truck that turns you to Jesus. It's the goodness of God that brings us to Christ. It really is, guys. And so I'm this Can It Sunday and the holiday, Feed the Hungry holiday that's coming. I'm really asking for us to be the kind of church that you can bring your boss to. You can bring your clients to. You can bring people who work for you. And it's not going to be weird. We will not embarrass you. We're not going to go political on you. Aren't you be glad when November the 8th finally comes and the political goes away? We're not going to do that at church. I'm trying to reach Republicans, Democrats, and now I guess Libertarians. And the Green Party, whatever, you know. I think it's a partnership. I'm not asking you to go on your own and just get somebody and get them saved. Bring them to church. I will pop the question. I'm committed. To providing a place of safety, a place where people are not judged for a lifestyle that it perhaps is way different than mine. I remember when the issue was what you wore to church. And when the Jesus movement happened and the guys had long hair and the girls had very short skirts, you just wore over it. And can you believe that some of those people didn't even wear shoes? And yet battle lines were drawn. It's a different issue today. Really it is. But if your stance is neither do I condemn thee, let's have lunch. And I'm not going to be preoccupied with whatever I think is wrong with you. That I could really love you. Guy this morning swore, kind of. If I'm fixated on that, I'll never get anywhere. See, I'll pop the question every week. I'm the minister. They expect me to do that. You expect me to do that. It's great if there's a little humor. Great if there's a little thought. But I'm not paid to be a comedian or a philosopher. Truth it is, I'm a minister. And people expect me when I go to a funeral, when I do a wedding, to do a Christian funeral and a Christian wedding. And people expect me to pop the question about opening your life to Christ. If you never have, if you're here, if you're watching me online and you're thinking about that, why don't you do that today? We've worked hard on a building, on all the programs that go with it, wonderful kids stuff, so that you can feel free to invite your friends, relatives, to a place of safety. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these good people, and Lord, for the church that you're calling us to be. I pray your blessing in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Scripture's taken this morning from John 6:28 and John 20. Then they asked Jesus, what must we do the works of God, the work that God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. And these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name. Amen. Amen. Great job, you guys. This is good stuff today. Love one another. Consider yourselves dismissed. We'll see you next Sunday.